Welcome back to Maximize Your Influence. This is Kurt Mortensen. How do you persuade, how do you influence when you really don't feel that you have the authority or even the power? Do you have power? Do you know what power is? Is power good or bad? You have forms of power you could use right now that you don't even realize to maximize your influence even though you don't think you're in the right position. So the question is, do you have power in these situations? What is power and how we're going to use it? Power is an interesting thing. I guess I should ask everyone, is power good or bad? Yeah, it could be both. We've seen power abused. That's why it makes us a little nervous sometimes when we see it. It's a neutral thing, just like gravity. Gravity's neutral. It's good if you're walking. It's bad if you're falling. It just depends how it's used. But we can all find different forms of power. There's good power, there's bad power. Now, I endorse you only to use the good power. Now, I'll talk about some negative power today. Not that you will use it, but you could be aware when those around you are trying to use it, because knowledge about these things is a critical aspect for your success, especially in the negotiation and the business world. It'll make a big difference. Now, when you look at the definition of power, power, what it does is it increases your ability to persuade and influence. This could be knowledge, it could be authority. Some people use coercion as a form of power during the persuasion process. It really enhances what you're able to do. Does a police officer's gun increase their ability to influence other people? Does a doctor's white coat subconsciously help them persuade people? Yes, it does. Or a lawyer's degree or a mechanic's knowledge. Sometimes if we don't know that much about cars and we trust the mechanic, that gives them power over us because they have more knowledge. You know, when the mechanic says, your blinker fluid's low, we sometimes the knee-jerk reaction is to replace it even though it doesn't exist. And that's why we want to focus on different forms of power. Now, power only exists if the audience or the person you're talking to allows it. Again, it could be your boss, it could be an employee, it could be in a negotiation situation. And you only have power with somebody to the extent that you control something they want, need, or desire. It could be their safety, it could be some type of information they need, it could be a reward they're looking for, some type of freedom. Some people even have power over you to avoid any type of punishment. Again, this is a neutral thing. I don't think we want to focus on force when you're making somebody do something, but that sometimes is a form of power. We want to use a form of power that actually enhances what you do and increases your charisma. Power is interesting because people react to it in different ways. Some people, it's an automatic response. You're the boss, I'm going to do it. You're the police, I'm going to do it. The government says to do it, so I'm going to do it. Some people are that way. Some people, it's a manual response where they have to think about it. They're not sure. Now, sure, they're telling me to do it. Not sure if I want to. And then there's some people, probably mostly teenagers, that will resist any type of power out there. Okay, no matter what they say, no matter what you do, even though it's good for them, they're going to resist you. And so depending on the person and the situation, we react to power in different ways. Now, one type of power we see out there, and some people throw this type of power around, and I want to teach it because some people use it against you. Sometimes you can use it in a good way when you're influencing other people, is authority power. When people have more authority than you, that enhances their ability to persuade you because we have a natural urge to follow authority. And that could be a greater title, president, vice president, CEO. It could be a greater authority, it could be greater strength. There's a variety of things here that it could be. But the key thing here is understanding position and title. That's something you can think about when you are thinking about your job description or printing business cards. What it says about you on there could be associated with a position or title because we follow a CEO or president or Esquire. There's just a natural urge there sometimes. And some interesting studies have been done here. I'm sure and hope everyone's heard about the Stanley Milgram experiment. This was done a while back. In fact, I don't think they allow this type of experiment anymore. This is the one where they put an ad in the newspaper to recruit people to do a study. And they get there and people were wearing a white coat. And They were introducing to themselves to each other. And the goal here is they had this big old machine that would administer electric shocks every time somebody got the answer wrong. And so they'd put the other person on the other side of the room, ask a question, get them wrong, and they would shock them all the way up from minor voltage to 450 volts. Now, I don't know how much you know about electricity, but 450 volts will ruin your day and probably kill you. And there were 30 switches all the way up to 450 volts. They wanted to see how high people would go to the voltage. And the other person on the other side, they couldn't see, but they could hear them screaming every time they shocked them. And they would get all nervous, and they'd look to the person in the white coat and say, should we continue? Like, oh, keep going. And the guy would scream, he has a heart condition. They'd get all nervous. And what they found is two-thirds of the people delivered all the way up to 450 volts during this experiment, even when it sounded like the person passed out on the other end, because the person in charge told them it was okay. Now, this can be a good thing. This can be a bad thing. In fact, the FAA, when they were studying airlines and accidents, found out that 25% of all airline accidents could have been avoided if the co-pilot would have said something. But they're thinking, well, they're the pilot. They know what's going on. That mountain's getting kind of close. No, they're the pilot. Well, there's goats on the mountain, but they're the pilot. And sometimes we get stuck. So the message here is when they accept your authority by your title, your position, the resistance of influence goes down. The title could be a variety of things that you can use, whether you're a specialist in that region, with a specialist within your company. There was also a study done with nurses and doctors. There's a power struggle there many times. And what happened is a strange doctor called up a nurse and said, I have a patient there. I'm going to be there in 30 minutes. There's this drug called estrogen. I want you to administer it to them before I get there. I'll sign the prescription when I get there. Now, there's some challenges here with this study. And the first challenge is a prescription over the phone. It was an unauthorized drug. It was a lethal dose, and they didn't know the doctor, but still 95% of those nurses went to go get the drug before they stopped them. The negative side is sometimes we don't think about it. The positive side is people are much easier to influence. In fact, in the medical community, they had a patient that had this earache. And so what the doctor did is wrote down a prescription for some medicine and put administer to the patient's R/ear for right ear. So R/ear. Now, when you spell that out, it spells rear. And guess where the ear medicine went? Right in the rectum. So sometimes it can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be a bad thing, depending how you use it. In fact, another medical thing they found, the doctor said they wanted to put the medicine in OJ or orange juice, but it looked like it was OD, which means right eye. And so they ended up, instead of putting this medicine in orange juice, they ended up putting it in the patient's right eye. So there's some challenges with this too. But if you can create a title on your business card, have some type of an authority, that helps your power quite a bit. Even we're finding out your uniform, what you wear, how you dress dictates how people treat you. I know there's a big difference when I travel and I want to upgrade or I need to get something done when I'm in a suit. Is much different than a shorts and a t-shirt. When I walk through a hotel to give a seminar, it's much different. If I'm coming from the gym in t-shirt and shorts, nobody would give me the time of day. But if I'm walking to the seminar in a suit, then everyone's saying, good morning, and it's just a different experience. And they did a study in New York City where somebody was wearing street clothes in half the study, and the other one they were in a security guard uniform. And somebody would need change for their meter. And if when they say, hey, can you give them a quarter for the meter? When they wear a security guard uniform, it was much different compliance than street clothes. Even when you see people collecting money at the stop signs or stop lights, when they're wearing a sheriff's uniform or nurse's uniform, they make a lot more money because there's some type of authority there. Again, that's how you dress. It could be your suit. People give you respect. That gives you the power the way you dress. Now, part of us says, well, they shouldn't judge us, but hello, we judge all day long ourselves and people judge us. You just have to be careful. Some people, it's shined shoes. Some people, it's the watch you wear. Some people, it's, and you can fill in the blank. So try not to make any mistakes there, but the way you dress is a critical form of your authority. There's also external characteristics that give you power. The way your office looks, the way you walk into a board meeting or any type of a meeting, if you're rushing in with papers everywhere versus walking in with in a calm, collected manner. How tall you are. Most CEOs are over 6 feet tall. Not saying that it's fair. It's just part of it. How good you look. In presidential elections, the better-looking candidate wins 20 out of 23 times. A deeper voice tends to be more commanding and authoritative. What you drive. They did a study in San Francisco where the light would turn red and the car wouldn't go in front of them. They want to see how fast people would honk. And when it was a big, just a junker, people were on that horn really fast. But when it was a Rolls Royce or a really nice car, some people wouldn't honk at all, and they waited a lot longer before they would honk. Again, it's that subconscious trigger. They did a study with professors. How clean or dirty their office was a big indicator on how credible or how much power they had to their students. Then there's coercive power, which I don't want you to use, but some people use it against you. I think Al Capone said it best. It says, you can get more with a kind word and a gun than with a kind word alone. Okay. Now, we're not asking you to use a gun, but that's interesting. People use coercive power, do it or you're fired, because it's easy. They don't have all the persuasion tools. And when you use coercive power, again, not recommending it, the person has the ability to control or force someone to do it using, it could be manipulation or intimidation or scare tactics or even threats, sometimes even deceit or lies is what people use. Again, that's a form of power. Don't want to spend time on it, but I want to let you know that it is out there. Then there's legitimate power. That is something that you have earned. So don't think you don't have any power when you're going to any type of situation. Legitimate power could be, do they respect you? Have they done business with you? Have they heard good things about you? What is your reputation? What's your history with them or other people? Do you have that charisma, that passion, the trust? Do you have the knowledge to solve their problems? Do you have the competence that they're looking for? Is power. Even though they're the boss or they're the CEO or they're in a different division of the company, you still have power there based on your reputation. That is legitimate power. That's the best type of power to have because it lasts the longest. The quickest to lose, but it does last a long time. Reward power you have to be very careful of. It refers to the ability to deliver rewards or benefits to influence others. Financial, material, psychological would be, praise, that sort of thing. The challenge with reward power is that it has diminishing returns. Everyone's different, and it decreases loyalty, and it has that diminishing return. This is what I'm saying. The school children aren't reading. The teachers panic, and they develop a pizza program for everybody that reads. So they get rewarded with pizza for reading. Now, next time they want the students to read, what happens? They want pizza. Yeah, once you reward somebody for something, they will expect it next time and probably expect more, whether it's a Christmas bonus, whether it's a piece of a deal, whether you're giving an extra percent on this one. If you give them an extra 5% or if you give them an extra, you can fill in the blank, they will expect that next time. And every time you do that, they will expect more. It's good short-term power, but long-term consequences, you kind of have to be very careful with anything that you can reward people with. There's also psychological power. This could be good. This could be bad. You'll see it out there. This is when people disguise what they really want and when they're attempting to persuade or influence you. You'll see this a lot in negotiation. You'll see this a lot in the workplace where people are trying to make you look bad or trying to get what they want or trying to increase their budget by decreasing your budget. We see this time and time again. It could be time pressure, where they wait till the very last second to get you to make a decision. I see this in negotiation all the time. Hey, when does your plane leave? Oh, 5:00. And they will hem and haw until about the time you need to leave, and then you'll feel all panicked and you'll get less than what you really wanted. You saw this in the Vietnam War negotiations. The United States rented a hotel room day by day. The other side rented a villa for a year. Okay, there's different time pressure there. Some people will use the power by being so bold, like acting like they know what they're doing. And that tends to be a form of psychological power. Being unpredictable, not knowing when they're going to get angry or fly off the handle or get emotional. Using distraction or surprise. An interesting study was done on a subway in New York City that when people surprised you and asked you for your seat, you were 56% of the time people said yes. But when they saw you going down the train, can I have your seat? No. Can I have your seat? No. Can I have your seat? No. Only 28% of the time did they do it when they weren't surprised. Some people will do that. They'll surprise you. Or the time pressure, they'll wait till the last second. We see that with teenagers all the time. They'll wait till the very last second to ask you for something because it adjusts the playing field. Some people use pity. You see that quite a bit. Poor me, why me? You're doing okay, can't you help me? And then space invasion, or the study of proxemics, where they'll get in your space and they'll get in your face. Because a lot of countries, United States likes 24 inches, and if you violate that space, we feel uneasy, and that's a form of power. South America, it's a lot smaller. And Germany, it's a lot bigger, but people will get into your face. They'll get too close to you. They'll use these different types of power. Critical that you understand this. There are good forms and bad forms. You need to decide what you are comfortable with. You need to realize that other people will use this against you. And so this gives you a lot of knowledge. Again, whether it be in the workplace or a negotiation, or if you're meeting with the president of another company, or the big cheese is coming to town, whatever it is, identify the power and realize that you never go to any persuasion or influence or negotiation situation with power. So you think about it this week. When you're into that situation where you need influence, what power do you have? It could be the resources that you have. What resources do you have that they need or they want or they could use? What type of information do you have that they need, want, or could use? What about your relationship? That's a form of power. If you've been known them for 10 years, you've known them for 5 years, you've done things together, you've always come through for them, that's a form of power. Can you reward them with something? You have to judge if it's long-term, short-term. What type of rewards could you do? What about reciprocity? Have you done a lot for them in the past? Do they owe you one, as they would say? Do you have the time on your side? Do you have the right people on your side? If there's people on your team that they need to use, that they want access to, that's power. Your budget, or they need part of your budget, could be part of your power. Your expertise, your experience is all part of your power. The main thing I want to point out here is there's good power. Use it. It does enhance your ability to influence. There's bad power. Don't use it, but be careful when people do use it. And realize every situation you're going in with power. And so you think about it ahead of time. Okay, what power do you have? Because never, never say, well, I don't have any power. They have the upper hand. They have all the power. They have all the influence. They're the boss. Fill in the blank there. You do have different types of power. Could be knowledge power is another form of power, that information that you have when you go into that situation. So I recommend before any type of situation where you're going into influence, think through the power that you have, because that increases your ability to persuade and influence. You master this, it's like the trump card. It's like exponentially increasing your ability to influence by understanding power and how it relates to influence.